It's a Dancing with the Stars Season 18 reunion right here on Popcorn Talk.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
We're loving this. Hi, everyone. Welcome here to The Point with Kristen Burtz. That's right. I missed my choreography. And of course, we are presented by Popcorn Talk and Dance Network and doing a little bit of choreography. And it's a reunion with my former co-host, Jules Tucker.
Hey, Kristen.
Spooky.
I don't know the words exactly.
The Addams Family.
Their house is a museum.
Oh, we totally messed it up. All right. Well, welcome on in. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
I know. This was hard. I was trying to talk and do choreography at the same time. It's not easy whatsoever.
No, it's not.
But it is so good to sit back on the panel with you.
It is good to be back. Thank you very much for having me here.
I know. You know, I've seen you a couple times recently. You have had a busy year, a lot going on. We were just talking, like, we can talk about 18,000 things and be here for, like, 3 hours probably. But, you know, you were like, what are we going to talk about? I'm like, we need to go back to, like, Baby Jules.
Baby Jules.
Baby
oh,
Jules.
God.
I know. I have a feeling that you were a pretty active kid.
Yeah.
Because you've always had tons of energy. I've been with you on the panel. And sometimes I'm like, all right, reel it in. Let's find out.
Last night, I lost my voice doing an African fitness class at the studio. And I was like going crazy bananas. Like, we're actually in Africa. Like, it was hilarious. I've lost my voice a little bit.
That's awesome, though. That's what you want when you're teaching a class. You want that energy and keeping everyone else's energy
up.
Oh,
yeah. It's
cool. But I know for you, I mean, I think a lot of people don't necessarily realize your father was a rugby coach.
Yeah, it was, is president of the rugby union back at home.
Which is New Zealand,
in,
correct?
In New Zealand, yep. And so I came from a predominantly, you know, rugby sporting background. My dad, my uncle, my brother, everyone, including myself, we're all rugby players, sportsmen. I mean, I played rugby since I can remember. I think I must have been 4 years old, probably when I started, and played all the way till I was 16, till I left and moved to Australia, basically.
Now, how does a rugby player become a dancer? Because you don't necessarily think that those two go hand in hand.
No.
And especially when your dad is really into athletics, is he supportive of the dance?
Yeah, well, no one knew. It was actually like the Billy Elliot story. So I started like around 12 or 13 years old, and no one knew. Just my mum dropped me off at the studio. And then all the other mums were like, you know, they sit there and watch. And I was like, oh, you can leave now. And I remember this mum was like, what? I know that other mothers heard me. I'm like, nah, mum, you can leave. You don't watch rugby practice. You don't watch basketball practice. You don't watch tennis, athletics. Why would you watch this? And all the other parents were like, who the hell is this kid? But I was like, leave.
I don't need a dance mom.
Go away. Like, go from the word go. And then she never came to a practice ever,
which
I didn't want them. I didn't need one there, you know? So,
what inspired you, though, to get into that first dance class?
Well, here's the thing. I was always doing like drama and acting and like all different things. I was always running around the house, like being crazy, I guess.
That is not a surprise.
Right. And playing my parents' CDs back in those days, like rock and roll CDs and like all this music. And my family, like, I was always out with my mom and dad at like maybe an event or like a birthday or a party or something like this. And they didn't dance themselves, but they're always like a social. We're always like a social family, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a TV show on in New Zealand, and I was like, oh, it was called Battle of the Ballroom, about competitors. And I was like, oh, I want to maybe try that. Maybe I'll try that. And I was actually going to try rock and roll dancing first because I want to do all the tricks.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mum knew one of the boys on the show, his mum, la la la, connected it up. Next thing, I'm down at the studio. And then my mum literally said, as we're walking up these stairs, because this boy's mother said to her, it will take over your life, be really careful. And she goes, by the way, this is not taking over our lives. And
dun,
I said,
dun, dun.
I said, it's a dance class. Just shush. Just, God, you're embarrassing.
You know? Mom!
You know? And then, so basically I started the class, and no one knew. We kept it quiet because we didn't know how everyone would take it. And
Stigma of boys and dance. It still does exist in some level. It's much better today, but it still does exist.
Yeah, it does. And it bugs me, and I'm, you know, trying to get dancing back into schools more so right now and with other projects. But so no one knew for about a year. My dad was actually coaching rugby in Japan. He's an international rugby coach and also coached in New Zealand and played in New Zealand and everything like this. And dad didn't actually know. No one knew. No one knew. And then mum would go visit dad in Japan, obviously. And I should leave me like money behind for the dance classes, like all this cash. And my brother once found all this money and thought I was stealing at school. And then I couldn't tell them what it was, and then somehow like it got out that it was actually for dance class, and then it was this whole series of things that slowly we told people, and then it was like it was all good. I mean, of course it got out, and then the bullying at school, and the twinkle toes, and the fairy, and the physical abuse. You know, there's lots of things that everyone goes through. I'm not crying out my story here, but I'm just saying. Everyone goes through this.
It stinks that it exists. And I think, it's funny because I was a kid that was in a ton of dance classes, and it sort of prevented me from doing a lot of the normal stuff like the soccer and the cheerleading that girls do. And I would even get teased as a female because I was always off at dance class. And you lose a social aspect of school because you're off with a different set of friends and things like that.
I had a few things happen, and at the end of it, it was all really positive and really, really great. But there was a stage where, like, I couldn't do some athletics practices, and the coach once had moved the practice for me, and then he found out it was for dance, and then he didn't. And then, there was just these little situations where other teachers didn't even believe that I danced. They were like, you don't dance, you're a talker. I'm like, I dance, and I am a talker. Yeah, that doesn't matter. My brother was a head prefect, captain of the rugby team, captain of the cricket team, captain of the athletics team, all the same thing. So I was following in these family footsteps, which I did do at the beginning. But then the dance started to lead me off in this other direction. And from the kids bullying and like yelling and throwing things at you and all the stuff at school. And then I actually did a speech. I actually was like, stuff this. I'm going to do my speech on dancing, so everyone actually understands what on earth is going on. So I did this whole presentation on it, won the speech competition because of it, and then everyone started to calm down a little bit more. And then I danced at the school. I danced in front of the whole boys' Catholic school.
Was it like a talent show or something?
No. It was a house. We had like houses, like red, blue, green. Houses of mine was called Waters, a greenhouse. And we had like house competition against each other. So we all had to sing, do like a fun little dance, and then like really simple, stupid things, and then and all dress up and stuff. And then they were like, oh, Tucker can dance. Why don't we just throw him in to do the dance? None of us will do it. So we did that, and I brought my partner in, and she had a short skirt and everything around and nothing on, and all the boys were just going crazy. So I basically like trained them or explained physically and verbally like what it actually is I do, because no one actually knew. They knew I danced, but they didn't know what it was. And then I saw this really nice transition where everyone, especially my close friends, actually would come to the studio and come see it. And then would come to a competition. And then, they would ask me to teach the oldest boys in the school for the school ball. So there was this transition. But it took like a year and a half of like constant stuff.
And people
that
tease oftentimes because they don't understand. But the more they learn,
they're scared of people being different.
Yes.
They're scared of you not doing the normal thing that is apparently what it should be or what you should be. Even for me to leave school, I left school early to go to Australia to dance because I had the opportunity. Even my principal just said, do you really think this is a good idea? Do you really think you should be leaving school right now? And he didn't even know that I had enough marks to go to university the year before. So I had already enough because I took some extra papers or whatever. So I had enough if I wanted to go to uni anyway, I could.
Right, you had the
credits.
He
didn't even know. Yeah. And he was just like, and that's my principal of my school. And I will never forget these things. I don't want, I want to be able to encourage boys especially as well, and girls, of course, to like always just follow that passion and follow that dream. I knew in my gut always that is what I wanted to do, get out and not just dance and act, but like be creative and everything. And there were elements in my school that did help me with that. All my acting teachers and my English teachers were really supportive, and my graphics teacher and my design teachers. And I'll never forget Miss Reed, my English teacher. I know, not Reed, R-E-A-D, but R-E-E-D. Miss Reed printed off when I won the New Zealand Championship. She printed off the article in the paper, put it all around the school, and it was like, we have a national champion in our school. Let's all support, So it took a while, but then they all kind of like turned their heads around. And
how did your athletics help you with your dance? Because you already understood how your body moved, I imagine.
Yeah, I think it was being athletic and being brought up in this family of sportsmen. My sister is also married to a very, very well-known and very good rugby player too. And when I lived in London, I lived with them, and he was playing for England at the time too. And being brought up in that family, I had this sportsman mentality in my dancing. So it helped me train like physically in the gym and be fit, and my nutrition and my eating. It's always something I've been really interested in because of my dad, I would say, and of my family. And I think it definitely helped. And also the mind working with the mind and stuff. I work with a very good friend, Camilla Dellarap, with mindfulness, meditation, and NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, basically like sports psychology and stuff like this. And all these other elements all helped to build and create the, you know, what I've done and all those sorts of things. So being brought up in that family, I think it really helped, gave me other ideas. And when you get knocked down, you know, it was the sport, the mentality of like, come on, we lose a game. We're not going to just sit down and sulk. We're going to get up and we're going to figure out how we're not going to lose again. You know, so the result's not right. Okay. Literally, Ricky, my brother-in-law, was like, okay, let's get the footage from your last competition. Now let's see.
Let's watch the game tape.
let's do it. No, literally, we did an analysis, you know.
Yeah.
And also Ricky, you know, my dad was in Japan and mum was away and I couldn't iron my shirt. I'll never forget, Ricky was at boarding school. My brother-in-law, and he was like, you know, I had to play rugby in the morning. So I had my rugby boots and my stuff, you know, he'd help me like iron my ballroom shirt, make sure my boots were clean. And then my dance shoes were clean, you know. So it was this whole transition of, it went from like black to white, like not overnight, but it was this like whole.
You started seeing little improvements. When did you know that your dad was really proud of you? Because I know for him it was probably, he had to kind of just grasp what was happening.
Yeah, and we didn't really talk about it too much. Like, I didn't really know what he was really thinking about or going through. I think, again, once they understood what exactly I was doing, and he came in and he saw the competition, and I think also he saw the element of like, wow, this is actually quite intense. This is not a walk in the park. These guys are dancing like all
day
long. Yeah.
You guys are athletes.
Yeah, and so I can't remember like the period that he was like, it was all okay, but I just remember he was like, what do you need? Like, what else do you need? What can we help you with or whatever like that? Because it's expensive too. And he was forking out a lot of money. And then I had to start traveling, you know, and then it's more money. And we got no government sponsorship for this because it's not an Olympic sport yet, so we don't have any of that.
They're still trying.
They're trying. We're recognized, which is great, but it's not officially. Not just like one day. It was just, oh, it's okay. It was just like a gradual thing that was it was all okay. But I never really knew what he was, I guess, thinking. I don't know.
But I think even like trying to find out how he can support you, I think that is showing to him that he's invested.
And turning up, and then he moved back to New Zealand, and he'll be at the competitions and travel to nationals with me and things like this. And these little things meant a lot. And then, you know, he was the deciding factor that I was allowed to move to Australia at like 16 by myself. Like, moving countries alone, I didn't realize until just recently how big of a deal that kind of was for my family and back then, like, leaving.
I mean, you were a baby.
Yeah, and I know, like, Derek and Jules did this at even a younger age.
Yeah.
You know, but they were going to a family that they knew. I was going to a family I didn't know, and a girl that I just met a few months earlier. So it was, like, a big transition, a big deal. And I remember the airport was, like, a nightmare. My sister yelling at my dad, "You're letting him leave. He can't leave." My mom crying. Dad's like, "He's got to do this. You know, he's got to go. This is his opportunity now." Because I'd done everything I could do in New Zealand. I, like, won everything. I wasn't really being challenged. And I'm always, like I said to you before, like, always wanted to challenge myself or do something new and not, like, if it's not helping me develop as a person or you know, literally, if it's not challenging me, I'm
going to
be bored. I'm like a sponge. I want to learn. I want to progress constantly.
You get bored easily, too. I know you.
Yeah.
What was it? So you had met a partner and she was from Australia. So you're moving there.
Yep.
Were you guys like immediately like training for competitions and
that? I stepped off the plane. I was in the workforce straight away. I taught kids. I started teaching in schools. So we ran around, traveled around all the schools in Brisbane, and we would teach them dancing and we'd put them in competitions at the end of the term. So we'd have like 10 schools in a big, huge arena. And it was the most amazing, beautiful thing. And now I'm doing that in America. I'm starting to bring this program into here too.
I love that.
Which is really exciting. We just got a school signed up as well. And so there's a few things there. But and then straight away training for competitions. Yeah. New coaches, new everything, new environment. Scary, hard, tough, really tough being by yourself again, supporting yourself.
Were you homesick?
Yeah, I started getting homesick. But also didn't really want to show it because it was my decision, you know.
And you want to be like, I'm a man, I'm on my own, I can do this, I can make this happen.
Yeah, but I had some really good support, and luckily enough, I've had people along this journey who have always, you know, or I've met them on the way, and they've been the most amazing people to me, and like my family on the way, and in every country. I went from New Zealand to Australia to London to Italy, back to London to Hong Kong to Singapore, then America.
Oh my gosh.
So there's like 8 places, so it's like eight times I moved, so...
Because I know there's a core contingent of ballroom dancers. Did you meet any of the people that we know in Australia when you were dancing young?
Oh, yeah.
Like the Sharna and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
You've known all of them.
And in London and everywhere. Yeah. And Hong Kong and everywhere. Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
And Val and I, we all have the same coaches. So we'd be in New York at the World Championships together. We'll be in training camps in Germany together. We'll be at Blackpool International, UK. We'll be, you know, drove Val. We'll be driving around somewhere in Germany. It was this whole community since before the TV shows and stuff.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Shirley sometimes talks about it too, just, you know, who she's trained and who she's known since they were itty bitty and things like that.
I mean, for God's sakes, I said this a couple of times, I don't know if I said it here, but I packed up Shirley's house once, you know, when she moved to America. I packed up Mark's undies and socks in the bag. I'm like, I can't believe I'm doing this, Mark. What am I doing? I'm like, get over here and pack your own boxes, you know, and there's guitars. I'm walking down Nan's in there and it's like, it's such a family and there's so much history. And yeah, which is kind of a really cool, sweet thing to come into.
There is something really wonderful about all of that because you guys do have this long history and it's a long, successful history too. Yeah. You guys have done well on the competition circuit and then beyond that. And here, you know, all of you guys at some point or another have been on a top 10 national show here in the United States.
It's yeah.
Big deal.
And sold out tours and all sorts of things, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can all still like live together and literally work together. And,
right.
Which is really something kind of, I think you're right. I think it's quite special that, you know, I've lived with four of the cast, you know, and we've all toured. When you can live in a tour bus with each other for 3 months, you know, you can get on with them.
That's
you know
so what I mean? True.
And do that over and over again.
Yeah, every single night.
And then be back at work with them 2 weeks later after that tour.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot.
It is a lot. And I have to give it up to the guys who are all doing that still. Like, that is a lot.
They've got, I think, a 65-city tour ahead of them coming up. That's a big one after a long season. And so it is. I've been on tour. It's tough. It's tough on the body. It's tough on your eating habits, sleeping habits.
Oh, yeah, it's tough.
You miss home. You miss kind of like that normal schedule.
Yeah. It is. But it's great as well to be on the road and to see all these places and meet all these people. There's all that fun stuff too. But, yeah.
How old were you when you moved to London?
London, I was 18.
So you're still really young.
So it was London 18, 19, Italy at 20, back to London 21, opened a school in London, and then moved between Hong Kong, London, and Australia. I'd live between three cities, basically. Train in London, and then I would teach in Hong Kong, and then we would do competitions because we represented Australia.
Oh, boy.
So we would travel between all three.
Same partner that you were still since 16?
No, hell no.
You're like, oh, no.
probably the 10th.
How many partners, Jules, have you had in this day,
at
this point in your career?
Should we listen? I started with Brittany. Mm-hmm. Hey, Brittany. And then moved to Gabrielle. And then it went to, oh, my God, Kirsten. Oh, Lord. And then it went to, I forget her name.
That girl.
Now. That wasn't the best one. Yeah, I forget
that
her
girl.
Name.
We'll just call her that girl.
That girl. Then it went to Rosaria in Italy and then Serena in Italy. And then it went to Annalisa. And that was the most successful partnership, Annalisa.
With Annalisa. Oh, yep. Well, that's seven. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
And you've been dancing with Rachel White.
Rachel White this past year. Yeah, Rachel and I have done some pro smooth comps, which has been a crazy, amazing journey to step back in there for a little bit.
What inspired you to step back into competition? Because it's not something you do halfway. You have to fully do it.
No. Yeah. Trust me. Exactly. You have to go all the way up into it. She got married last year, and I was the MC at the wedding, and I don't know what happened. I did crack my head open in the swimming pool. That's another story. But
is that why you decided to compete? You cracked your head open?
I cracked my head open, and I was like, oh, my God, we should compete. Let's do that. No, but...
there's you and Rachel.
Oh, bless us. Yeah. No, that's at Blackpool. We went to Blackpool this year, too, and we were eighth, which we were really happy with, which was cool.
Congratulations.
That's only our fourth comp, you know.
I saw you at Emerald Ball, so...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You guys look great out there.
Thank you so much.
I grabbed some some video, I think, of you guys, like, on the dance floor.
Yeah, so we decided to do it because we wanted to do our own thing and step back into it for us as, like, the last little hoo-ha, you could say. Because the TV stuff and whatever came up, like, quite snappy, and I had to stop everything else, and I never got back out there. And before... I was doing just Latin American, and I hadn't done I'd done ballroom as well. I'd done 10 dance for many years and represented New Zealand, England, and Australia at World Championships. And I really enjoyed the smooth, and I wanted to put my own little flavor into it and just get out there and have some fun with it and do what we wanted to do for a change, not what everyone else wanted us to do.
Did you have fun?
So, yeah, we had a lot of fun.
That's good.
Yeah, we did some pretty crazy different things out there and gave it a good whirl.
What was the reaction from the judges when you're doing some extra things that they're like, what is this?
Some weren't too happy and they wanted to pull it back, to be honest with you. And some were like, our coaches were all just like, yeah, go, let's keep doing it, keep pushing it, keep pushing it, keep pushing it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I love to choreograph and I love to experiment and I love to put a show on and make people enjoy what they're seeing. And if I'm enjoying what I'm doing, then you're going to enjoy what you're watching. If I'm doing something that I'm not enjoying, it's going to show and it's going to be fake. And I didn't want to be fake. There's enough things out there that I think are forced and fake. And I wanted to try and just give like some real cool, fun stuff that wasn't like just plastered fake smiles running around the floor and choreography that everybody does. And also the athleticism as well. I wanted to do tricks and things that other people out there couldn't do, which was exactly what we did.
That's awesome, though. Yeah, because when you do it your way, you're probably winding up with the most satisfaction in the end, no matter what the competition results are.
Yeah.
And I think
for
that's,
sure.
You know, I think especially when you're like, you know, 16, 17, 18, 19, you're like, you just want to be in first or you just want to get there. But then when you get a little bit older.
Anything to get there. Yeah.
Anything. And then you kind of get a little bit older and you're like, oh my gosh, no, the perspective of like, we put this creativity in it. We entertain people. Like, I felt great out there.
There's
a lot more satisfaction in that in the end.
Yeah, because you know that what you did was what you wanted to do.
Right.
And you're not just pleasing everyone out there.
Right. You're not doing what the judges
want. You're not
wanted.
Doing what they just want to do. And you can't just go around to every judge having a lesson, getting the mark. It's not like that. I'm not going to be doing that. So it was fun. Right now we're taking a little break. I'm not sure what we're going to continue or not. Just the schedule. Like, I just had the opening of the studio. We've got charity events. We've got shows of pitching things. It's fun and crazy. And we dedicated some time to that. And it was like 5 a.m.s being in San Diego, like 3 days a week. The schedule was manic. But fun.
Yeah, good. And that's good though. I love to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if we ever talked about this story. How did you wind up on Dancing with the Stars? Because I find that with everyone, how they wind up on Troupe, everyone has a different experience and a different story to tell.
Well, I was in the UK and they asked me to come into the UK to have a meeting for Strictly. And I was like, well, actually, no, I want to go to America because I want to act and do all these other things as well. And I was already trying to come into America through a dance studio. Mm-hmm. And they said, oh, are you sure you want to do that? I'm like, 100% sure. So then they set me up with a meeting with Joe and Ash. And I flew over and sat down, had a meeting with Shelby, actually, Shelbs. And then following up that
Shelby's
was
one of the producers
on
the show.
Yep. January reached back out and they're like, hi, can we jump on the Skype call? And bada bing, bada boom.
And that was it.
That was it.
Yeah, it's so interesting because some people have meetings, some people have to audition.
Yeah.
Some people just kind of like, are you available? And that's it.
Yeah.
And then some people have to come back in several times. It's been really fascinating kind of talk to people. What their experience is like. And what I love about your year or your season was that they introduced you guys with that great package.
Yeah, they've never done that before.
They've never done it before and they've never done it again, I think. I don't know what you guys did, but it was great.
I know, because I remember Emma and a couple of my friends were like, oh, we never got that.
We didn't get that.
And I was like, yeah, no, that was kind of cool.
I know, because it was like you and Whitney and Gleb and Lindsay.
Yeah, it was fun.
And you got
my
a
God.
Dance. Like,
yeah, we shot outside McCann in freezing cold, watered down with like wet socks and shoes. I'll never forget that. It was hilarious. Yeah, and they made me shave my head.
So that was a production note.
That was a production note. They asked me if I would shave my head, and I was like, sure, I don't care.
Oh, yeah, you're just like, I just want the job.
Boom, I'll shave my head.
Were they calling you Julian, too? Was that it?
Oh, yeah. So there was two, like, yeah. The one rehearsal, my name came up as Jules, and then on the actual show, it came up as Julian. And I was like, oh, what the hell? Someone changed what happened here. So, yeah, they decided to
yeah, because they do. It happens on So You Think You Can Dance, too.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to call you by your full name. You're not going to go by your nickname. And you're like, but
then my car park said Jules. So it was very confusing.
That is really
and
confusing.
And then, oh, my God, I'm going to tell you something about this. And then so when we, there's the picture. Oh, Whitney and I.
There's your baby Whitney and baby Jules. Look at your hair.
When I'm shaving face and shaving hair, I look like I'm Justin Bieber, like a 12-year-old.
Yeah, you look like 18.
Yeah, I know.
Aww.
So, oh, my God. So we come into this package. And I don't know who Whitney and Lindsay are at all. Like, I don't have a clue who they are. And so I'm sitting there doing the video. They're asking us all these questions. They were trying to get, like, some dirt on, like, so how do you know, like, what do you think of Whitney and Lindsay? And I'm like, I don't even know who they are. Who are those people?
They were just off of So You Think You Can Dance.
And then, like, Whitney just, like, pops her head around the corner. She's in hair and makeup. Hi, I'm Whitney, like, bubbly, like, you know, real fun and funny. And then Gleb and I, they tried to make Gleb and I, like, have this, like, funny, like, oh, so what do you think about Gleb? Like, you know, are you going to show him, like, who you are on the dance floor? And, like, Gleb and I are just, like, was, like, this whole time having this, because we've been good friends for many years.
Right.
And having this, like, banter back and forth. And then, but it was so bad that we had to come back and retake the whole thing.
They're like, this dance battle, no.
Because, and then Gleb, oh, there's a whole ridiculous, yeah, I can't say it right now, but it was hilarious dance battle that had to be cut and we had to do it again because it just didn't.
I wonder where that footage is.
Oh, I can't, I'd love you know? To see it. It was like, I'm Jules and I'm going to show Gleb what it is to be on the floor.
I'm going to cha-cha.
It was so bad. Like, watch this kiwi burn it up on the floor. You know, it was so ridiculous.
That's amazing.
It was the funniest.
Somewhere that footage is archived.
I know. We need to find it because yeah. It's so bad. It was
Who's
so
in
funny.
Charge of the archive footage?
I know. Anyway, that was
I
a
want
funny
that.
Time. Oh, yeah.
What you know, season 16, it was one of those times because it was new energy. There was a lot of shifting around, things like that. What do you remember most about your season on Dancing with the Stars?
What do I remember most? I just remember it being manic because it was the two shows still.
That's right. You had results shows.
You had results and we had Monday night. And there was always so many things. So many things to do. We worked hard, you know, as a troupe. Two shows a week. And then you jump into all the other numbers. You know, they started using us more and all the other numbers too. Yeah. But I just remember having a great time. I just remember how thankful I was to be finally in the US. It had been years of trying to get over here. And finally I was here and I couldn't believe. And Gleb and I would be, like, we laughed about coming here, talking about it in Australia and in Hong Kong for years. And, oh, my God, imagine if we get there and imagine if we go. And did you have your meeting? Yeah, I had mine. Did you have your, you know, oh, my God. So what's happening? I don't know. Did you get the call? I got the call. Okay, we're going.
And you're both there.
You know, we both went at the same time. And it was just really, really cool. And Emma and Sasha, I'd come over for the meeting. And I was meant to be moving here to teach in this dance studio. The day before I flew out, they cancelled me coming over to work, me and my dance partner, mm-hmm. But we had the flights ready to go.
Oh my God.
So we came over anyway, and, like, you've got no idea, like, the situation. So we had nowhere to live, nowhere to go, nothing. And, like, Em and Sash, like, put me up, you know. They went away to do Dancing with the Stars in India, so I stayed at their place, but they weren't here. And so this is always this great community is what I was trying to say again about everyone just supporting and helping and being there. And I remember going to the interview just sweating my face off. Like, I was so...
I was like, your butt off?
my butt off. Sweating so much. And it was, like, boiling hot. And for some reason, I wore, like, jeans, a shirt, a waist jacket, a tie, and a jacket on top, like, dapper as hell, like, dressed up. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm sweltering, like, pouring off my face.
Yeah, when it gets hot here in LA, too, it's brutal.
Yeah, I had a meeting in August. Like, what am I doing?
Yeah, it's like 100 degrees.
100, but I wanted to look real nice and real. Oh, my God.
And you're like, now I'm just like a sweaty mess.
And I had this terrible car that was like this old, like, rental that I parked like ages away. So I walked in. I was so, it was so funny.
Oh, no.
It was so funny because the air conditioning didn't work. And you know, it was like one of those stories.
It's just, yeah, it's like everything's working against you. But, you know,
it was so funny. But
that's what I love to hear because I love to hear that, like, Em and Sasha were like, stay at our place. You know, you got a place to live. Kio was saying when he moved, you know, from South Africa, he was like, Peter was driving me, like, to agents. He's like, I didn't have a dance agent or a manager or anything when I came to this town. So
yeah.
It's a lot. We forget because we're just like, oh, you're on a top 10 show. Here you go. But when you're moving from another country, it's kind of a big deal.
It's hard. And LA's tough to get, you know, good friends and people you trust here and stuff.
Very true.
Even with management and teams, it can be difficult for everything and everyone. So I think that's also why we all stick together, too, because we all have each other's backs.
Yeah, and you guys have a long history together. And, you know, people in LA can be self-involved, and you're just like, I'm busy.
Yeah,
good luck.
Exactly.
Welcome to the country.
Yeah.
Bye. Yeah. And then you're like, wait a minute.
Exactly.
I have no one to eat lunch with.
No, for sure.
No, it's true, and you feel that. You feel sometimes you're like, it's a little lonely here.
No, definitely. So it's nice that we all have that connection with each other. I think it's quite special.
Yes. I was trying to remember, how did we get you on Dancing with the Stars After Buzz? Did I just, like, email you and I was like, we've got a spot? I don't even remember.
I think we might have. There we are again.
I love this photo because I was like, you have Artem, Jenna is in there. I think that was her first season in Troop.
Yep.
Suri, Anna, of course, you were there. Jake Dupree, who was our co-host, out for the season. I remember
that.
He was doing a show,
and I was like,
I don't know if I asked you for one.
I think I came in for one beforehand.
And they were like, just stay.
Do you want to come and say, yeah,
just
something
stay.
Like that. It was fun.
I call this season, this was season 18, I call this peak Dancing with the Stars because it was such a great season of like Max and Meryl and Derek and Amy Purdy, and it was a great cast.
And even Charlie, who I thought was robbed a little early.
Oh, Charlie White and Sharna was... I have not forgotten that Mary Poppins dance. So.
Exactly what I was just thinking of.
Exactly.
It? Yeah.
I will remember that one probably out of the entire... Like,
it
that was the
awesome.
Most epic one for me.
I know, I love that. I love that.
Also, the season we got the most fan feedback, both good and bad. It's probably the season I blocked more people than any other season on social media. I'm sure you saw it too.
Was that Candace Cameron Bure season?
Yeah, with Mark Ballas.
Yeah.
Was that season?
I might have been.
I feel like she was a season later or something like it.
Okay.
But who did Mark have that season then? I've got to look it up because it's going to drive me nuts now. But, you know, isn't that, I mean, but that season, were you on with us when we had Candace Cameron? Is that what we're thinking?
Yeah, because we had a birthday party and I came in the next day.
Oh, then that must have been season 16. Yeah. It must have been Candace.
17, 18.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to look it up just so we know. People are going to be like, why? Oh, of course, he had Ali Raisman.
Oh, yeah, Ali. No, that was season 16, Ali. I mean season 18.
You're 16, 18.
I'm going to talk about Venice for a second.
Wait, I'm all on the wrong one. I'm all on the wrong season. I was like, he had Ali Raisman, but you were like, I was on that show.
Yeah, that was the one I was on. Hilarious.
There we go. I was like, who did Mark Ballas have in season 18? Why can't I remember? Oh, Candace Cameron, you were right.
It is Candace, yeah.
So it's Candace and Danica. I was just thinking that the two 90s girls were different seasons, but that's pretty epic.
The same. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's, I like that. That's
But that was a good season.
That was a really, and Candace Cameron wound up coming in third.
Yeah.
And after all that.
She did awesome, though.
She worked really, really hard.
Anyway.
She worked really hard. Well, I want to ask, too, because we've been talking a lot lately about choreography on Dancing with the Stars.
Mm.
It's been a topic that has come up. We've talked with Alan Salazar about it, and... Mm-hmm. I think people don't necessarily like understand like how is everyone choreographing and the pros choreographing. You've helped a lot of the pros just sort of like polish their pieces and do things. Has it been a process that is challenging because they're not like Jules Tucker choreographed this, or is it something that you're like, well, this is the way Dancing with the Stars handles it. There's no union rules protecting you guys on that. So,
yeah, I think it can be tough because sometimes you feel like, oh, you know, I did that whole thing, or I did parts of it, or it's a collaboration. So it just depends how much you've been involved and who's taking full creative. It can be, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
Because there's also some problems with some Emmy nominations before.
Yes.
Where people have done literally the whole routine and weren't nominated. And also, I did some of another routine and wasn't involved in it either.
And the Emmy rules state that if you're not credited on the production, you can't get nominated.
Yeah.
So it's nobody's fault, but it's the way there's some murky rules going on. So that, I just want to establish that.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's like, you know, whether or not that you get your name behind it, I think the fact that if you want to do it to help, then you know you've got to be okay with what you're putting yourself into and realizing
that your name's
not going to be on it. And that's something that you just have to live with and get on with the job.
Yeah.
Because I just love doing what I do. And, you know, if I have time and I can get in there and help and, you know, and be creative and choreograph and give ideas and this and that, and, you know, then that's cool. And I will.
Well, and a lot of these people are your friends, too.
And
they're
my friends, too. And
if
they need help, I'm going to be there. Or, you know, let them use the studio when I can and, you know, all these little things now. So
we've seen your studio quite a bit on this season. Yeah. I recognize, I'm like, that's Just Dance. And we've seen Kim Johnson-Herjavec's studio, which I love. I love that they've been using that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice. It's not, again, it's nice to go like full circle. It's cool.
It really is. And it's probably fun to have some of the producers and cameramen and everything else like in there and stuff like
good
that.
Good to see everyone around. It's cool.
What inspired you to open the studio?
Oh, my God.
Partner, Mike Gwynn. I know.
So... I was on tour with Dancing with the Stars, and the space just came available, and there was a studio there before, and it closed down, and it was just sitting there, and I was just like, God, should I just take it? Should we lease it, renovate the whole thing, and just do this? I mean, why not? Mm-hmm. I had just the feeling that my gut just said, why not? I think it's a good idea. So why not give it a try? And I've opened a school before in London and it's still going, not under me, but it's still happening.
Yep, you know? Which is impressive because studios can come and go.
And in LA, it's a 5-year span. It's like the lease stuff. In 5 years, they close down or they try and sell and they don't sell. So it's difficult. It's really hard. But, you know, we want to make this community and this feeling of support and like a CrossFit community have, you know, mm-hmm. and this sort of like really cool, inspiring environment for people to come into and learn and be part of our family. And that's what we're doing. And
well, it's important too, because LA doesn't have a major sense of community at all.
No.
You know it. I know it.
And there's a lot of people looking for that. And dance is such a beautiful, amazing way to be involved with that. And it's something that everyone should be able to do. Everyone should be able to dance. We dance at weddings, at clubs, at parties, at events, mm-hmm. you know, and I get this all the time, saying, oh, yeah, but I don't dance. I don't know how to dance. That's why I opened a studio to teach you, anyone, beginner, whoever you are, how to dance. That's like my forte, like on Dance from the Stars. We teach the celebrities who don't know how to dance very quickly. Like that's what I'm very specialized in now.
You know, you're like, I got it.
Like, I gotcha. Get your butt in the door. Yeah. Like, it's okay. That's another thing. I'm trying to make it like, to make everyone realize that it's okay. Don't feel threatened to come into my space and to be involved. And that's the comments I get back, that, oh, we love the energy in here. It's really calm and inviting. And that's exactly what I want. I don't want people, you know, my instructors aren't in shirt and ties and waist jackets and dance pants up to the nipples. It's not like this. You know what
don't
I mean?
Don't like that. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's the last thing you want to go into. It's like going to a ballet class with someone in a full leotard and tutu and the hair up and ready to go.
Yeah.
It's like, how put off would you be? You know, you want to be relaxed, inviting, comfortable.
You know what I like about your studio? The really high ceilings.
Thank you.
It gives like a lot of like open air.
Yeah.
It, yeah. You don't feel like you're in a tight, cramped studio. Yeah.
Yeah. The mirrors are really crazy long and it's just white and bright and positive. That's exactly what we wanted.
I want to come in and learn a really good hustle.
Okay.
Yes. And my husband's a good social dancer. So
really?
Yes. He is he's a great dancer, honestly.
Why have you never been to our social dances?
I don't know, but I really want to learn. Like, I want a mean hustle. Like, I just want to get
that. I think
you
should perform at our Christmas showcase.
Christmas showcase. My husband would totally do it. He's like, he's so down.
All right, we'll talk about this after.
All right, we will. We'll figure that out. I want to talk about Goldie Hawn, though, because you and I talked about this before we went on air, and I was like, Goldie Hawn made this incredible speech. There's a photo of her up there at your studio. And I put a quote in my Dance Network article that I did on your studio. So dancenetwork.tv, go and find it on the dance blog section. But it was so poignant and it was so perfect and it was unrehearsed and it was from the heart. Just talking about like, she was a dancer. She got plucked out of the chorus. Yeah. She became a star. But she's like, my dream was to open a dance studio. And tonight, we're opening a dance studio. And everyone, I mean, I don't know how anyone, like, tried, like, kept a, you know, dry
eyes. I was crying.
It was so sweet and it was so amazing. And, I mean, I know you guys are working together currently.
Yeah. I met Goldie through Derek, actually. And that's why it was kind of special to have Dee and Goldie there as well, because he connected us a few years ago for one of the charity events that he couldn't do. And I was fortunate enough. They rang me up and said, yo, can you do this? I can't do it, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It's Goldie. It's important to me because they're good friends too. And I stepped in. I was like, of course. And we kept really close ever since. And we're actually performing on Friday. We're doing her charity event for Mind Up, which is all mindfulness for children. It's a program that goes into all the schools. And it's such an amazing, amazing program. I'm very much into transcendental meditation as well and mindfulness and all this. So I'm actually love the whole program. And we are doing a little fun number, just a few eights on Friday night at her.
Is there a style to it, or it's just a little bit of everything?
It's a little bit of everything. It's a little bit of swing. There's a few lifts, a few dips.
Excellent.
The number we're doing is You're the One That I Want from Grease.
Oh, I love
so
that.
We all come out and we do Footloose. We do a crazy-ass jive. Mm-hmm. And then I've got eight dancers coming in. And then and then the girls go get Goldie and bring her on the stage. And then
it's gonna be epic.
We dance with her and she's like pull between a few of the boys and then get her up in the air and like do some tricks and bits and pieces. And then she's gonna act like she's like I'm losing the plot, and then like I go over here, and it's gonna be really funny.
That's gonna be good. And then, how's her dancing these days? She's moving good.
She's so fit. She's fit as a fiddle, and she can dance. Yeah, she can still move.
She wasn't. Yeah, I was like,
people didn't know that she was a dancer too. So that's what was kind of like quite cool. It was like, oh my god, she's a dancer. I'm like, yeah, she was a dancer before she was an actress.
Yes, she
was, and she still is. And she was in the studio the other day, and we were just talking about. She's like, you know, this. I just still sometimes can't. I mean, she's nearly tearing up again just about it. She's like, how my life totally changed. And she's just saying to me, like, you know, helping me with some acting things. And she's like, your discipline comes from your dancing. Mm-hmm. That's why you'll be able to do what you do through acting and stuff, because of all the discipline that you've learned through dance. And that's why she feels she's done what she's done, because of her dancing training and her empathy and things like this. So it was really interesting, and it's been an awesome guide. She's been an awesome guide to have too.
I love
so
that.
It was fun. And just, I didn't even know she was going to talk at the event. Like, I just said, could
it
you?
It was so perfect.
I said to her, I'm going to get you up to say thank you and stuff. If you want to talk, you can. You don't have to. And she said, no, of course, of course, of course. And I was just like, oh my God, here she goes. She's going to kill this speech. And she did. It was just beautiful.
Yeah, I was right next to Katarina Fedosova. Two of us were like, oh my gosh, can you believe this? Like, yeah. Oh, we were like, yes. Oh, so great.
Yeah,
and
so
Derek,
fortunate.
As I was saying, and I've said this before, he's such a great supporter of friends and their dance ventures and things like that. So it was nice to see him.
From the word go has been a huge support. Even not just with the studio, just even as a friend. And he's always given advice, and, you know, he's always replied and said, hey, yeah, yo, read this book, you know, have a difficult time on tour or something. And I'm like, yo, I give me a book to read. I got to get my head, you know, out of this and whatever. And he's like, yeah, okay, Peaceful Warrior, or, you know, Four Amendments. Like, you know, we share a lot of these things. So, which is really cool and special. And from the word go, like, we've done a lot of move events, interactive events there. You know, we did some stuff on the Today Show there. He's always such great support to connect people with their ventures and with the studio. It was just, for me, it was important to have them too there, because Goldie also has been a big, you know, support to push the studio. There's a time when I could have sold it already, and I didn't. And these people are like, no, keep it. You're doing good. Just keep going. So
it's good though.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was a really nice turnout too. So that's
it was crazy. 250 people, and Haley sang. It was beautiful.
Haley Reinhardt
was there, and
everyone's gonna think it was Haley. Derek's girlfriend
sang.
Yeah, and I was like, she did not sing. I was like, let's clarify Haley it was.
Haley Reinhardt from American Idol, another good friend of mine. She came
maybe
in.
Maybe Haley sings. We don't know the other Haley, but
we'll
ask her.
Yeah, and it was just beautiful. All these people turned up, and it was just like, we're all here because of dance. Isn't that such a beautiful thing?
It really is. And I know that you're really wanting to extend your work out into the community. You're working with some of the Van Nuys school system.
Yeah, we've jumped into a school down in Van Nuys. We've got 35 kids signed up to an after-school program 3 hours a week, and we do a Christmas performance in December with them. We've got a couple of other schools who are looking to get involved for next year, and another department downtown who cover 200 schools in the LA district, and they have after-school programs to get into all these schools. So it's something that I'm quite passionate about, because I believe that it's very important for kids to be able to interact, especially right now with all this social media, this negativity, the tablets and iPhones and all this technology that are taking people away from interacting with each other, you know, conversing, looking at each other, actually in front of someone.
I'm too busy.
Instead of on a phone.
Yeah,
it's scary. And having nieces and nephews in this day and age, you know, I've got 6 nieces and nephews in New Zealand who all have iPads and iPhones, and it's like, you know, that's pretty good over there, but I see it here with kids just on these phones and not interacting and not playing and not knowing how to ask someone how to dance, or to have the respect for males and females and be able to have the confidence to get up in front of a crowd and dance by yourself is a huge deal. And just the positive and support that I see through the kids, like the kids in the program, they perform for each other, you know, and then the older kids actually take one of the younger kids from, like, you know, kindy or whatever, preschool, you say it differently.
Kindergarten
and stuff. Yeah. And they teach them a little number two, a little something with each other, and they'll perform it. So it's making the older kids also give them some responsibility.
Leadership
to be able to, and teach the younger kids, and they have like someone to look up to and be like, oh, no, this is a positive thing for them. And it releases all these amazing endorphins that you don't even realize.
Yeah.
And it's so fun. The kids are just smiling and having a great time. Yeah. And that's what we want to see.
And I think people forget, and I think for anyone that grew up with dance, but it gives you that discipline. It gives you the discipline for schoolwork too, because you understand like, oh, I've got 3 hours of dance. I've got to make sure my homework's done for the next day. And all of those things, it helps you remember choreography. So it's, you know, memorizing things for school is important.
For sure.
Yeah. And it's all these incredible benefits that, you know, you're like, oh, we're teaching dance and they're getting physical and, you know, and they're feeling good, but it
branches off, and there's so many different things that you don't even think about.
Amazing.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that program that's going out and getting more schools involved and seeing these kids develop. It's a pretty special and awesome. And then when the parents just come and they're like, oh my God, it's so good to see our kids smiling and having fun. That's all we want. I'm like, that's what I want too.
Yeah, because their nose isn't buried into a tablet or an iPhone. I mean, my phone's, I have my phone around me all the time. It happens. It's for all of us. It is. It certainly is. One thing I did want to, we pulled up a photo earlier, La La Land. I know you worked with Mandy Moore on La La Land.
Oh, yeah, that was so much fun.
Did you know, I mean, when Mandy calls you and she's like, I need some help, blah, blah, blah. Did you know that you were walking into like an Emma Stone, Ryan Gosling situation? And did you know how big the film was going to be, or it came out and you were like, holy cow?
No, did not realize how big this was going to be. I mean, you know, I had heard of the budget and who was involved and what was involved, the companies and who was backing it. And I thought, oh, Jesus, this is going to be quite big.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, she's like, you know, it's Ryan and Emma. You got to keep it quiet, blah, 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 blah. This is what we got to get done. We're on a tight time. Aww. A tight time limit. And that was such... It was Shana and I were involved in that.
Yes.
And it was...
Were you involved in, like, so when they were doing, like, the camp, where they were, like, learning the basic steps? Or were you teaching them when it was a little bit more involved in, like, they were learning the actual routines? Because I know they kind of did, like, a dance camp.
Yeah, it was after that. We came in and developed it a lot more and helped connect things together and some things that didn't work and had to change, and we had to change stuff around.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked a lot individually with them. Like, I would work with Emma by ourselves for a bit, and then we'd work with Ryan by himself for a bit, and then we'd put them back together, and then that'd go around together. And then it was, you know, just some things with the set would change, so we'd have to change some things around or whatever, you know. And just connection and some bits and pieces. And
That's a cool experience, though, too. I mean, obviously, you know how to teach non-dancers how to dance. They both have had a little bit them. But, I mean, what a cool, like, experience of what wound up being, you know, a huge
phenomenal hit.
It has launched the dance industry onto another level.
Yeah.
I feel like we've just had this momentum going, so.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. And it was a pretty beautiful experience. I'm just looking at that photo now, just remembering, like, going, like, Ryan Gosling giving me his chicken salad for lunch, saying, yeah, I've got two, yeah, just have this one, you know. And then Emma, like, giving me her boba tea. If they danced, so this was like, I don't know if I should pretend, it doesn't matter, but like,
the movie's out.
If everyone, like, did a good dance training, Mandy would let us all have boba iced tea.
This is good, this is interesting.
So it would be like, can we get boba now? Or Emma would be like, can we go get boba, please? And
just wanted my boba tea.
Send a runner to go get the boba for us. And, you know, it was really cool. And there was I've got a funny story for you about this. So I come in and they're having, like, a production meeting, and Emma's in the middle of the studio or whatever, and talking to one of the producers, and I come in, I'm like, oh, I'm not going to walk through them to go to the bathroom. I'll just get changed around the corner. So I'm around the corner, and I'm like getting changed, like, my pants are off. And then I just had a feeling. And then I see Emma, like, and I was like, hey. And then she's like, yeah, it's a bathroom, you know. Like, it was so funny. I was like, oh,
you're
my
like, wait
God.
A minute.
It was so funny.
It's a peeping Emma.
It was so funny. And Ryan had actually lived in New Zealand. He went off to New Zealand to get away at one point, and he lived in Auckland for like a year. And so we had this, like, little connection there with New Zealand and my accent, and he actually did a really awesome New Zealand accent, so we'd, like, laugh around. Like, we had so much fun. Like, I think Mandy sometimes would be like, are you guys actually doing stuff in here? Like, yeah, of course. Because you had, like, an Aussie, a Kiwi, and then Emma and Ryan, like, acting up, being, like, doing accents. And we had a lot of fun, and they were both really supportive. And, again, like, just really lovely, awesome people. And, again, like, offering to help with other advice and acting. And still to this day, Ryan gave me a bunch of ideas to which I've worked on and done, and he's reading something that I've done now. It's just been, they were just really awesome. And at the Oscar party before they went, I saw Emma, and I was just like, how the hell do you feel? Can you believe? I can't believe it. She's like, I don't know.
Like, you're about to win an Oscar.
She was, she was just like, I don't know. I'm like, I can't believe this. She's like, I can't believe this. Like, she was actually, like, stunned, and it was just, they're just so beautiful people and just real, and it was a really fun experience.
It was a fun ride. Like, you're always going to have memories of that, and you can be like, grandkids, like, I worked on this movie.
It was cool. And you hear the music, and it just takes you back to, like, with this little studio, and then Ryan would come out from his piano lesson. Oh, hey, Jules. And you're like, what is going on? Hey, Ryan. Like, is this really happening? And then Emma would walk in. Oh, God, or like someone would text ahead to say she's got people following her, so security would have to go out. It's just like, what are we living in? Like, what are we living in? And how thankful I was again for Manny to ask me to be involved. And it all just comes down to being on freaking Dancing with the Stars. Can you come enough for one show? All these little things have all just like happened. And it's awesome.
Yeah, it really is. It's kind of cool too, you know, especially Mandy's everywhere. And she's brought some people over to So You Think You Can Dance to work and choreograph and things like that. And it's really been kind of wonderful to watch everyone succeed together.
Yeah,
I think that's
awesome.
That's kind of the exciting thing. You did do Dancing with the Stars Australia with...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you like that? How was that?
That was a fun experience.
Wait, you're giving me side eye.
No, that was a very interesting experience. That was tough, actually. And it was a real shame because Ashley worked so...
Ashley Hart was your partner.
Hard, yeah. And she actually changed my life dramatically and introduced me to meditation.
Ooh.
To transcendental meditation. And her husband at the time, he came over back from LA and taught me how to do this, and... This is one thing, and that's probably why I went over and did the show, was to meet her and meet Bucky, her husband, and learn all this meditation and get involved more spiritually and connected within myself. And it's helped me get through so many different things. And the show itself, like, I had a blast, and Ash and I are still good friends, and Buck and I just saw him the other day. We're all good friends, and I love that. I love them both very, very, very much. And It was nice to go back to Australia again and work and kind of like finish something off over there. Because again, I left representing Australia as Australian champion, Latin champion, and then came and did Dance from the Stars, and I just like dropped out, like disappeared. Oh, here I am in the US. So it was nice. And I was still under contract, and I wasn't on the show here, so they sent me over there. So it was nice to be able to be involved back in Oz. And
is it as big over there? I know that it's not in the air anymore, but was it as big? And
I mean, it was, but I think they just have not, like, the population obviously isn't as big, and people just aren't, you know, everything's going digital.
Well, and a lot of people just watch the American version, or they watch Strictly Come Dancing.
Or in Australia, they watch shows about renovations, about house renovations.
Are they watching Property Brothers?
They're watching The Block.
The Block?
The Block, where they
is
renovate.
Is that an Australian?
Yeah.
Was Kim Herjavec
a judge?
A judge, Kim Johnson at the time, but yeah,
Kim
she was
Johnson
a judge.
Was a judge.
Well,
that's got
to be fine. At least there's a familiar face.
Oh
too.
Yeah, and all my friends were on the show again. They're all my competitors from Australia. You know, I had all these old friends in Melbourne. I had like three of my best friends from New Zealand live in Melbourne. So it was an awesome time to be able to go back. And my family flew over, and like, it was really cool. It was tough though. It was tough. Things would change very quickly. Like on the day or night of, they'll throw in a prop. So we had a chair all of a sudden. And then, you know.
And they wanted you to incorporate the chair into the dance?
All of a sudden. And when you don't, your celebrity is really like focused, and you know, you can't make changes like this, dramatic changes that, you know, it's difficult. We'd have to go back in the studio till like 2 a.m. just to make sure we get that.
Is that show live too? Like it is?
Oh, yeah. It's live. So it's a long show. That's nearly a 3-hour show.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's a long show.
Do they do it once a week or
they
twice
do
a week?
Once a week.
Once a week, okay.
Yeah. It was a long, long show. And it was freezing cold. I remember it was freezing cold in Melbourne as well. And it was, going from hot to cold, and like everyone's getting sick, and it was it was a lot going on. It was fun. It's always fun. It's always exciting doing doing live shows.
You're breaking the set.
Breaking the set. Sorry, guys. Always fun doing live shows because there's that sense of like is it going to happen? Like, are we going to go through? Like, what's going on? You know, when you're working on film or TV, you know, pre-recorded stuff. You know, you get so many takes to do things. So, you know, there is that fun side of doing live TV, like reality, and then doing theater and doing stage. It's a whole different dynamic. Mm-hmm. And then doing film and stuff is a whole other thing. So it's been interesting now to have done numerous different types of performing in front of camera or stage or pre-recorded
in
things.
In one show, honestly.
It's really exciting, actually.
What does that, like, elimination feel like? When you're there, read your name, and you're like, God. Is it just like you want to, like, throw up?
You should pull that face when I'm eliminated. My face is like... Because this guy got through who was totally taking the mic and disgusting and rude and couldn't dance, and actually was literally the best girl on that show.
She had great legs.
Her legs and feet, we worked our asses off, and she really worked hard. She never danced before. And there it is. Look at my face. Yeah, I wasn't a happy chappy.
You're like, that is the elimination.
Ash was putting on a brave face. I was not a happy chappy.
She's like, really? We're getting voted off, really?
What? Because this guy, Mark, had just taken the piss, basically, and totally was rude to the producers, was threatening to... He was just terrible. And it was really sad because we were really excited for our next week's show. We were really excited for the theme. It was like a jazz. We had a Fosse ready to go. It was so much fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we had a great number ready to rock and roll. So much fun.
I like your spray tans there, though.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta look at that.
She got me dark.
Yeah, I was like, that is a spray tan on both of you.
She got me dark. Yeah, mm-hmm. That was fun. But, it was tough, but it was cool. And then, you know, I didn't know what was happening, if I was going to come back to the U.S. or staying there till the end of the show. It was a lot of things going on. They were trying to keep me there to bring... There was talks of bringing us back. There was a lot going on that they were going to, like, throw us back in for a week, and we didn't know what was going to happen.
So there was some interesting stuff going on behind the scenes.
And both Ash and I were in Australia, so it was like, well, what are you going to do with us now if we're just sitting here? So they were trying to figure out how we could come back in.
We're going to leave you? Can you head on out of the country or whatever
else? Or do, like,
else.
A spot number or something. Yeah, but it was fun, and they were all lovely to work with, and it was good to go back and again, finish up my time over in Oz.
Yeah, sometimes you need a little bit of closure. You, like, put a little
bow
on it.
That's what seems to have happened with a few things. Like, go back and close things up and come over and do this. Which has been really cool.
Yeah, that way you don't ever have to sit there and go, like, what if, or should I have? Yeah. Like, you end all of those questions. You're like, I came back for a reason.
I was doing Dirty Dancing, you know, I toured the U.S. at that show, too. And then, like, that...
Henry was in the cast,
Henry was dance captain. And, and that was a full circle again. They came back and they actually were using my studios for rehearsals, and I got to go in and choreograph on the show too and redo some stuff that needed some changing and updating and stuff. So that was a nice full circle, and, you know, I was possibly going to go back and do the lead of Big Johnny, which would have been fun, but just the schedules didn't work. And
you've got so much happening
like
here, too.
Yeah,
and like I said, touring takes you out of the loop of, like, what your goals are here in the city. So
yeah, and I've done a couple of tours now. I'm good.
You're good. You're like, I am good. I'm going to stay put as much as I can.
Yeah.
Well, Jules, I thank you so much for coming in because
thank
this
you for
has
having
been
me.
Incredible. I knew you had a lot going on. I've seen you all over the place, honestly.
I know.
So Emerald Ball and
Dance with the Stars.
Your studio opening.
It's always good. It's always good.
It is always good to catch up. And it's always nice. It was nice to just sort of have, like, a little bit of reminiscing about season 18, because that was a good group of people.
It was fun.
It was probably my favorite season. Aww. Isn't that nice? And you were a part
of
it.
Yes.
All right. For people that want to keep up with everything that you're doing, where's the best place for them to reach you?
At Jules Tocca everywhere. Or Jules Tocca on Facebook, and at Just Dance Los Angeles. The website's justdance.la. You'll see we've got workshops and things coming up with all different people from the show, or classes and private lessons and all sorts of things happening. So,
and maybe my hustle. We'll see.
Check it out. Your hustle.
My hustle. Me and my husband. He doesn't know he's going to be doing a hustle. All right, you guys, thank you so much for joining us. Next week, Doriana Sanchez. You guys know her, of course, from Dirty Dancing, speaking of. She was in the original movie. But also, So You Think You Can Dance. She'll be joining me next week. And if you're looking for more articles and interviews and everything else, be sure to check out dancenetwork.tv. I'm Kristen Burt for To The Point, presented by Popcorn Talk and Dance Network.
producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only. The Adams Family. The views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.